Hi, this is Allison Sheridan, and it's time yet again for the NoSillaCast podcast. Today is Saturday, September 3rd, and you've probably noticed that I haven't podcasted for a while, and I'll get into a discussion of what's going on there. By the way, I do want to note that it is 2,786 days until I retire. Not that I have a widget on my Mac that tells me that with a countdown calendar, but just so everybody knows. So I appreciate the feedback I've gotten from people that people have been asking why I haven't podcasted in a while. And I got to tell you, I'm really kind of struggling with what format to go with here, because I could focus completely on Mac things and I could probably babble incessantly on that topic and keep a certain segment of the population entertained for quite some time and fairly regularly. But I kind of want to do something a little more broad. I want to talk about networking and other kinds of things that affect PCs as well. But then I get paralyzed, because what if I don't come up with something that talks about those environments during the same time frame where I need to do another podcast? So I'm still kind of bumbling around here on what I'm going to do, and I would appreciate any feedback I can get on what kinds of things you might like to hear about, what kinds of things end up really boring, or what kinds of things are fascinating, or if I talk about whatever I feel like, that's okay too. I've noticed that a lot of podcasters give a little personal information that kind of makes them real human beings that you can picture what they are in their regular lives. And most of you know me, but maybe I'll end up with a big audience someday and it would be fascinating for them to know who I am. So my kids said I should talk about them. My daughter Lindsay's about to go away to college. She's going to leave me in about 2 weeks, and I've just decided to go completely into denial on that topic. She's going down to UC San Diego, and that's going to be a lot of fun to watch what she does there. My son Kyle is still going to be around, but he's pretty entertaining in his own right, so he's a lot of fun. I live in Redondo Beach, and it's beautiful and sunny out, and here I am indoors recording instead, which is another excuse I've been giving for why I'm not doing podcasting, is I keep thinking, wow, I could go outside and wash my car, I could go for a bike ride, I could go for a run. A lot of those things are a lot of fun for me. So what am I going to talk about today? Well, I've got a couple of hot topics from some articles I've been reading. One is about iPods from a vending machine. Bet you think I'm kidding, but I'm actually not. Another article is about iPod casualties. I'd like to talk about KVM switches. An article about how exercise makes you smart. And then I'll talk about I think I'll start talking about podcasts that I like to listen to, maybe get you interested in the medium. So I'm thinking about going mainstream on this podcasting thing, and it's sort of a catch-22. So I think, okay, well, I could tell a couple of big podcasters about my content. Like I was kind of pleased with the one I did on shareware and freeware that I liked, and I could tell somebody about that. But the minute I do that, then let's say 1,000 people download the podcast, and that's a really small number, but that would completely burn out any bandwidth I have on the Mac.com website I've got. So that says I should really do a real grown-up website. And I've been looking at VisiWeb. I've opened a couple of websites for people on VisiWeb, but I haven't. If I go do that, then I got to get a name, right? I got to come up with a good name. Well, I was hoping nosilla.com was available, and it wasn't. So I thought, okay, nosilla.net would be available, but it wasn't. And I thought, oh man, well, I don't want to do any of those weird things like nosilla.tv or nosilla.org or anything like that. That sounded kind of goofy. So then I thought, well, I could do NoSillaCast, which would certainly, that's got to be available. I haven't checked, but I'm pretty certain it probably is. But then, what if I want to move on to other things? And let's say podcasting isn't the be-all and end-all of the rest of my life. Then I got to open another website. I've got to register another domain name, and I don't know. Then I get paralyzed. But if I don't do it right, if I don't set up those things ahead of time, then I can't do the podcast right. I kind of go back and forth and back and forth, and I basically have just been arguing with myself for 2 months, which is why I haven't done a podcast. So then I'd like to have a place to get feedback. I'd like to say, oh, well, email me at blahblahblah.com, but I can't put my real email address out there, or that email address will be dead in a while, if I do it right, if I did it well, if I had a lot of listeners. So not sure what to go there. I also think about whether I should just do a podcast more directly tailored towards work, because that's one of the things I want to do, is try to get podcasting into the mainstream at the company where I work, where a message could go out to an organization from a leader where they could do, a weekly radio address kind of thing. Maybe it's 5-10 minutes, that sort of thing. So maybe I need to do an inside one and an outside one, because then I think about doing a mixed one, and then, well, what if I talk about stuff that people inside the company wouldn't want me to talk about outside? And, well, the paralysis continues. You can sure see where that's going. Let me get to a couple of the articles that I was intrigued by. One of the places I get a lot of information is I read the Wall Street Journal, and there's a two sections that are real fun. On Wednesdays, they have the personal journal, which has technology things in it, and then on the Thursday, they have the what they call the technology journal, which is all technology stuff, and that's a lot of fun, too. So the one I was reading on Thursday, September 1st, in the personal journal, an article by Nick Winfield talks about the fact that they're starting to put iPods in vending machines. Now, I told somebody about this, and they said, "Oh man, you got to be kidding me! That's fake. You're joking. You're just making that up." And I said, "No, I'm not kidding you. This is really real." So what they're doing is they've got these vending machines that they're huge. They're not like a little bitty, you know, Coke machine size. They're these great big things, and they've got a touch screen on it, so you can go up and you can learn about the products and see what you know, what kind of things you can do with that product. Kind of like looking at it on a website, where you could see the details and you could see what you're actually buying, not just the box in the window. And the logic is that so many people now don't expect the man in the loop. They don't expect a person to describe it to them. They expect a screen to describe it to them on the internet. So they're taking these vending machines and they're putting them in high-end hotels and in airports. So you picture your business people sitting around, got 45 minutes to wait for a flight, or worse yet, 2 or 3 hours to wait for a flight. Got to bring home something for little Susie tonight because I've been on travel for 3 months, you know. Well, hey, pick up an iPod. Why not? They're also selling Bose headphones, wireless laptop cards, all kinds of crazy things. So it's kind of an interesting model. I think this has been successful in other countries, notably, I believe they said Japan. And one of the interesting things about how they determine whether this is successful, I understand in retail businesses, they measure the success of a retail store on how much money, how much in annual sales does it get per square foot. So a highly efficient business tends to be somewhere between. Is maybe $500 to $750 per square foot for a traditional retail establishment. But these vending machines, they're small and yet have a lot of stuff in it that's highly priced, and it turns out they're between $1,500 and $6,000 per square feet. So you can see how this could be an interesting business model. The machines are called Zoom machines, by the way, and they generate between $60,000 and $240,000 in annual sales per location. I thought that was a kind of an interesting thing. Oh, the other thing I was worried about is you picture your potato chips being picked up and just dropped summarily down, you know, 3 feet from the top shelf, and I'm picturing my iPod doing that, not so happy about it. But they answered that question too. They said that the machines actually have a robotic arm that retrieves the items and gently deposits them in a bin. And the optical sensors in it actually verify that the items have been removed before charging the credit card. The only downside that I could see in this model was that if you didn't like it, or if it was broken or something was wrong with it, you have to actually mail it back to Zoom. You can't like shove it back in the machine and say, "Give me my money back." There's another article in the Wall Street Journal now, in the Technology Journal. By the way, the thing I really like best about the Technology Journal is there's an author or a columnist named Walter Mossberg, who writes just wonderful columns on technology. He reviews laptops, he reviews applications, he talks shareware, open source, you know, paid for software. He's got a really interesting column every single week. And then he has a column called Mossberg's Mailbox, where he discusses he has questions and answers. And those are sometimes kind of weak, because he's just got a limited amount of space to answer people. But he's the one who hosts the digital conference that I did a podcast on, a couple of podcasts on a couple months ago. So I've really enjoyed reading his material. But this Thursday, September 1st, a guy named Evan Ramstead wrote an article titled "An iPod Casualty, the Rio Digital Music Player." And the basics of this article say that Rio came up with the first flash-based MP3 player, and they've been absolutely crushed by the iPod Shuffle. They had a lot of market share, and the minute the iPod Shuffle came out, it just absolutely pummeled it. So the 512 megabyte shuffle and the 1 gigabyte shuffle together now have 45-46% of the market share, and you can see the Rio coming in. Let's see, which one is it? Is it the Creative Labs? No, I should have known that. Yeah, there it is. It's about 2.5% of the market now. You've got, throw a couple more percent in there, maybe 5%, 6%, something like that. And then the rest of it is chewed up between SanDisk and Samsung, so, and a little tiny bit to RCA. But it's kind of interesting, and I got to tell you, some small part of me like to read words like the Apple juggernaut, describing how packed this thing was, how powerful Apple was in picking up market share. So, you know, from living all these days of hearing about 3% market share for Apple, that was kind of fun to hear. Let's see, I promised to give you an exciting pitch on KVM switches. So KVM stands for Keyboard Video Mouse, and the problem that it solves is you've got a couple of Macs or a Mac at a PC or a couple of PCs, and you really don't want two monitors, two keyboards, and two mice on your desktop because that just takes up a whole lot of space. So what you get is a little switch that you can switch between the two platforms, but share one keyboard, one video monitor, and one mouse. The one I found that I really liked, and then I found a review of it by Walter Mossberg, which made me happy because he picked the same one I liked, the MiniView Micro from IO Gear. And what's really slick about this thing is it not only picks up your keyboard, video, and mouse, it also picks up your audio. So I bought one for my son. I built him a PC, and he's got an iBook. And what I found was that after I built him the PC, he was always using the PC. And, you know, I had to be offended by that and found that couldn't be right. So I thought, well, wait a minute, let me watch what he's doing on the PC. And I thought, I just assumed he'd be gaming all the time, but I looked, and half the time he was just doing Instant Messenger on his PC. So I thought, well, he could be doing that on the Mac. So I decided to do an experiment. I bought him this KVM switch, and one important thing, a lot of the KVM switches in the lower priced range are only PS2, and so that isn't going to help somebody who's got a Mac that they want to put into the environment. You get more flexibility if you get one of the USB ones. So this has a VGA connector, and then a USB connector, and then an audio jack. And I was able to plug it into his PC and his Mac, and then the other end of it into his keyboard, video, mouse, and into his stereo speakers that he likes for playing his games, so he can hear his music and his iTunes and that sort of thing. So all he has to do on his keyboard, and by the way, this is using a Microsoft keyboard. It's a really nice keyboard, and he's using that to drive his Mac. But all he has to do is it's keyed to the scroll lock key, I believe. You don't have to do a physical switch. The scroll lock key on his keyboard, you just hit it twice, and it switches between the two machines. So what I found now is that a lot of the times when he's playing just on the internet or he's doing Instant Messenger, he is using his Mac more now. But then when he wants to switch over and play a game, he does that. And even better, he's got the game going on his PC, and then he can look over at his Mac, and there's his Instant Messenger running over there. So he's really got the best of both worlds. And yes, Kyle is extremely spoiled. There's no question about that. Of course, I had to make it easier for him to do even more time on the computer. And then I wonder why he doesn't go outside and play. Anyway, one of the things I liked about this KVM switch also was that it wasn't really expensive. I'm trying to remember. It was definitely under $100. I want to say it was around $70. I think you can get a little bit better. That's the list price. But a lot of these are, you know, you're talking $150. It's like, well, you know, keyboard and video with mouse, I can get away for cheaper than that. So it works perfectly with his sound, gets his music out, lets him switch between the two platforms, and really, really works nice. Made a real nice integrated environment. So I highly recommend that. And Walter Mossberg liked it too, so I must be right. Yet another article from the Wall Street Journal. I love the Wall Street Journal. This one was actually from the Health Journal, and I didn't write the date down, but I know it was in the last week, so late August. This was an article about how exercise actually boosts cognitive function. And as I mentioned, I think obliquely, if not directly, I'm a big believer in getting a lot of exercise. I exercise. I shoot for 7 days a week, and I hit 6 to 5 days a week that I do a good hour of hard exercise. I run 4 miles 3 times a week, and then I do the Stairmaster 3 times a week for about 40 minutes, do some sit-ups, a little teeny bit of arm weights because I find that really boring. But what I loved about this article was it talked through a whole bunch of different experiments that they've done, different studies they've done, that all show a strong strong linkage between brain function and high levels of exercise, or medium levels of exercise, I should say. So let's see, where's the... there's a flurry of studies, they said. There's one that looked at 5th, 7th, and 9th graders, and they took standardized tests, and they did the fitness test and then compared the reading and math performance to those that had not taken the fitness test, or had not done well on the fitness test. It turned out the scores were about 10 or 15% higher on those that had had met the fitness goals in the fitness test. So the mental capability was significantly higher. Let's see, they one of the connections that they made was that they found that, especially in women, they found that there was a 20% lower risk of cognitive impairment in aging. And so it was showing that regular exercise over the course of your lifetime would reduce the probability of having cognitive function degrade as you got older. And I'm certainly real interested in that. Yeah, they said a 20% improvement for those who did a lot of exercise. One interesting note was that they said that those who did excessive amounts of exercise, doing marathons, that sort of thing, it actually reversed the other way. Kind of like 1 to 2 glasses of wine is good for you, but a half a bottle is not good for you, I think, or a bottle is not good for you. So anyway, it was an interesting article, and I think everybody should consider getting out, going for a walk. Maybe you should be jogging while you listen to my podcast. That would be the way to go. I listened to quite a few different podcasts, but I've really been honing in on a couple, and one I wanted to talk about is called The MacCast by Adam Christensen. And this podcast is it's very much Mac related. It's very, very directional to Macs. And the guy that does it is just kind of a casual guy. He's got a day job. Believe it or not, he's a Microsoft.net programmer at work. So the poor guy has to use a PC all day at work, but then he goes home, and the MacCast is his true love, I think. So it looks like he's not making any money doing this podcast, but he's really, really fun to listen to. So, okay, so my son told me that he wanted me to talk about him in the podcast. He just walked in, he's dancing for me, and I really appreciate that as part of this. The podcast from Adam Christensen is really fun to listen to because, like I said, he's casual. He's really an enjoyable guy to listen to. He's got one thing that just drives me around the bend is he always says A before words that start with a vowel instead of an, and so he's frequently saying A apple eyesight or something like that. It makes me crazy. But other than that, he's pretty interesting. What I've enjoyed recently is that he's had a couple of podcasts where he interviews some people I really like. He did a fabulous interview recently with Leo Laporte, and everybody knows how I feel about Leo Laporte. And it was really nice because it was just a couple of guys talking, and Leo got into some real good information about how he feels about Macs and different things that are happening in the Mac world. Really enjoy listening to this guy, real casual, does it fairly regularly, and he likes to take input from his audience, and I enjoy that as well. Well, I'm going to cut this off now. It looks like I've been going for about 15 minutes or so, and that seems to be about as long as anybody can listen to me. If you do have ideas, anything that you think would be interesting for me to work on, talk about, I think that would be a lot of fun. I'm thinking also about doing some interviews with people I know who are technology types that I think are pretty interesting. I think maybe I could get into some fun arguments with people about where we think things are going, and that could be real fun. But I hope you'll keep tuning in to the NoCillaCast and stay subscribed on your podcast catcher, and we will catch you next time.